Okay, Shalom Chavra. So we're going to discuss the sugya of Karen Sheen for Regal today. So the Gemara of Kama Bees and Bees tells us that Gimel Avos Namer Bishur, those are Karen Sheen and Regal. Karen, the Av of Negicha, goring. Sheen, the Av of Achila, the animal eating. And Regal, the Av of stomping or trampling. The Gemara considers whether the totals of Karen Sheen for Regal are Kayotzeh or Nalav Kayotzeh Bohen. Eventually, it concludes that all of them are Kayotzeh Bohen. And then during the course of the discussion of whether these totals are Kayotzeh Bohen or Lav Kayotzeh Bohen, the Gemara points out certain salient characteristics of each of these categories. Karen has Kavanos Lahazik, Shein has Yashana Lahazika, and Regel has Haziko Matsui. So the goal of today's shiur is really going to be to dissect each of these categories independently and also to think about the relationships between them. The first and the most prominent of the questions is really what the mechayiv is in each of these cases of Karen, Shein, and Regel. So as we noted a couple weeks ago when we discussed the sugyos of Palganiska Knasa or Mamona and the Havamin of Karen Mechuberes, when I use the word mechayiv, I mean it in its very strict and literal sense. Namely, what is the basis for the obligation of Tashlumin when this nezek transpires? So if your shor goes and gores, why is it that you're obligated to pay for the damages that it caused? And the same for Shein and Regel. So we're asking, what is the mechayiv for each of these? Maybe they share common mechayivim, maybe they share distinct mechayivim. We should also recall to the previous sugya, or the introduction to this entire sugya about the Griz versus Rabbeinu, where the Griz thinks that there's one generic mechayiv for all of Nezikin, whereas over and over in Shia we're trying to point out that there could be multiple mechayivim. So again, this is another instance or example of us trying to pursue multiple mechayivim across the spectrum of Nezikin. The second question, which stems from the Gemara itself, is what the characteristics of Karen, Shein, and Regel actually are. We noted at the beginning three characteristics mentioned in the Gemara, and we want to know whether there are other characteristics as well. And then the third question is, what, if any, Mike, is going to be the connection between the characteristics and the mechayiv? Are the characteristics just kind of gzeres hakasuv type of categories? We need to know how to categorize certain nizikin for certain purposes, whether that be their pturim or other dinim that apply specifically to one category and not to another category. Or do the characteristics actually reflect on the mechayiv? And if they reflect on the mechayiv, then they can also be formulated as a nafkamina, meaning that if you think that this category has this mechayiv, then you are motivated to say that this will be the characteristic or characteristics of that category. So as we go through Karen and Shein and Regel, I'm first going to go through the different mechayivim of each of these nezikin, and then I'm going to mention the characteristics, the tchunos of each of these nezikin, as possible nafkamina for the mechayiv. The fourth and fifth questions pertain to the relationship between these multiple categories, and we're going to do that in a hierarchical fashion. So first, we're going to discuss the relationship between Shein v'Regel per se, which is a very interesting question, and then the final question is going to be what the relationship is between Karen, Shein v'Regel. So amongst those three, maybe if we have two that share more of an affinity, so which are those two, and what evidence would we have for those relationships? Those are the questions that are guiding our discussion for today. Let's begin with the first av mentioned in the Gemara, that of Karen. So what is the mechayiv of Nizke Karen, where your animal goes out and gores or does one of the other toldos mentioned in the Gemara in Beis Amid Beis? So here, we can break this down, and this is going to apply to all of our discussion of Karen, Shein, and Regel. We can break down the mechayivim into two broad categories, and then within those categories, we can have multiple options. We didn't necessarily organize it this way in Shir. I should mention that also. Some of my ha'aros today are going to be more so than in previous shiurim, my own ha'aros, or kind of doing some linkings that didn't necessarily happen in Shir. But for purpose of clarity, and because I think that they're consistent with our general message in Shir, I'm going to vie for them. And please, if you disagree, then you can ask now or later. Okay. So we have two general categories in terms of the mechayiv. One is what Rebbe calls Maisa Shoro. Maisa Shoro. What does Maisa Shoro mean? So it's not just Lamda Shabrisker terminology. It really has an actual meaning behind it. It means that we categorize this nezek as the action of the animal. It's the animal that damaged. You didn't damage as the owner. The animal damaged. But then, because your animal damaged, we add an additional step prior to the Chiyuv Tashlumin, and we say that because your animal damaged, therefore you are obligated to pay for the damages. That's what in the Yeshiva Shevelt is called Mamon HaBailim. It means that you have certain property, and you're responsible for the actions of that property. So it's what Rebbe's calling Maisa Shoro, or what in the Yeshiva Shevelt terminology we call Mamon HaBailim. I believe that those are identical. Again, if you think that they're different, then please explain to me why afterwards. Okay, so then that's one category. A different category is not the mice of the shore, but rather the mice of the bailin, which means that it's not the animal that's damaging. Really, al pidin, the way that the law looks at it, it's that you're really the one damaging, or ki'ilu, you as the owner are the one who's damaging. And that can come in many variations. So one variation would be through negligence. So we're faulting you for the nezek because you were negligent. That's your ki'ilu maisa, whether that be b'sheva al-taisa or whether that be b'kumva asei. It's your responsibility since you were negligent. Another one could be ki'ilu hiziku be'atzmo, or bi'adayim. It's kind of that we view the animal as a proxy of your own actions. So you're considered to have done the nezek ki'ilu bi'adayim, just through the shliach, so to speak, of the animal. Another option could be what we've mentioned in Shir a couple of times, hachzakas hamazik, where you're faulted for having possession of a mazik. The fact that you possessed this damaging animal in your possession faults you for any damages that later occur. So we have this clean chiluk between Maisa Shoro and Maisa HaBailin. So within Keren, we find different shitos here, some which were mentioned in Shir, and others of which I'm bringing to your attention, just so that we can ascribe a shita to each of these options. So the Evan HaOzel interpreted the Rambam in Iskei Mamon Aleph Aleph, where he says, Shehare Mamono Hizik. So he makes a big deal out of those three words, and he says, it must be that the Rambam holds of the Mahalich of Mamon HaBailin, of Maisa Shora. That really the animal is the one that did the damage, and you're the bank account that is the address for the animal's damage. Mamono Hizik. You weren't the one that was Mazik. Mamono Hizik. What other evidence can we have for that within the world of Karen? So let's quote this Maharach or Zaruan, Kofhe. The Maharach or Zaruah has a Havamina, or he interprets the Gemara's Havamina, that the only case of Karen that would be Chayav is where you have both Kavana Lahazik and Kavana Lahana. So Rebbe explained that this whole idea of Kavana, whether it be Kavana Lahazik or Kavana Lahana, is in order to create a tziruf between the Nezek and the Behema. So the animal can be considered the one that damaged because it had the intention for damage, or because it benefited from this damage. There's a certain tziruf between the nezek and the behema. And if that's the case, then we can categorize the nezek as the maisa of the shore. So that havamina that you would need both kavana lahazik and kavana lahana very much accentuates that we're trying to speak about the maisa of the shore. Within the world of Keren, Rebbe was very fond of this mahalach, that Keren really is about the Maisa of the Shore, because of Kavanaso Lahazik and other ideas, and we'll get to that soon. But there are other positions out there, and there are many positions in the world of Maisa HaBailin. So Tosos Mavakama Gimel Amid Beis. So where the Gemara has a Havamina that maybe Kavanaso Lahazik is a Kula. Why would Kavanaso Lahazik be a Kula? Says Tosos, because it's harder to be Shomer, a shore that has Kavanaso Lahazik. It's just harder to keep him in check. So that being the case, it seems that Tosos is understanding the Mechayiv of Karen as Pshia of the Bailim, as the negligence. So if we can fault you for negligence, then you'll be Chayiv. And if you can't fault you for negligence because it's just too difficult to watch over your shore, then you'll be Pater. But what stands at the core of that of Tosos' interpretation of the Havamina, and if we assume that exists in Lemaskana as well, then the Mechayiv for Karen is the Pshia of the Bailim. The Sefer Abatim has a very clear line for both Karen, for all of Karen, Shane, and Regel. We'll mention this each time. That when your shore damages, then it's ki'ilu hiziku ba'atzma. It's as if the bailim of the shore were mazik bi'adayim. So again, that's the proxy idea, where the bailim are mazik al yedei the shore. And the third idea, which I mentioned before, the idea of hachzakas hamazik. So thank you to Natan for pointing out this makor to me. If you take a look at Shitas Rabbi Eliezer on the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Eliezer holds that for a shor hamuad there is no shmira. The only way to be shomer is to kill the shor. So the Pnei Yoshua, based on Rashi, they're basically saying that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the whole basis for the Chiyuv Tashlumin, when it comes at least to a Shor Muad, is Hachzakas HaMazik. This is a Shor Muad, it's a Mazik. So you can't possess it, and if you do, then you're going to be Chayav for Tashlumin because you possessed the Mazik within your Rishus. So here we see a wide spectrum as to what could be the Mechayiv of Ken. Noah. Yeah. Because the whole idea of tziruf is in order to accentuate that this is the maisa of the shore. We're trying to say the shore is the one who had the kavana lahazik, so we can blame the shore. The shore is the one who had hana, so we can blame the shore. Okay. So what nafkaminas do we have for the mechayiv of Karen? So again, as I said in the introduction, I'm going to present here the characteristics of the category as a mechayiv. So the characteristics of Karen could be a number of different things. Kavanos alahazik, mishune, in hanoa lehezika, and in hezika matsui. I'm not going to go through all of those right now, but I did do a search for kavanos alahazik throughout Bava Kama, and I listed all of the places that I found of kavanos alahazik. So yeah, that's for your own benefit. Next, what's the relationship between kavanos alahazik and mishune? So this is a very interesting question. Many of the achonim are troubled by the apparent steer in the Gemara. Is Karen characterized by kavanos alahazik, or is it characterized by Mishuna? So you should note that if you're going to ask that question, then obviously you think that Kavanos Lahazik and Mishuna are two distinct potential prerequisites for the category of Karen. You don't think that they're Hainu Hach, you obviously think that they're different. Because if they were Hainu Hach, there wouldn't be a Stira. There's only a Stira if they're different. Ah, very nice. Okay, but others think that these are Hainu Hach. So Tosos thought that Mishune, this is the way Rabbi read Tosos in Bava Kama Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that Mishune is an indicator of Kavanos Lahazik. If the animal is doing something very strange, then that indicates that it really has the intent for damage. If it were intending something for its own benefit, for something normal, then that action wouldn't be strange. Very nice. Then we also quoted Rav Soloveitchik, Mipi Ashmua, that maybe it's the exact opposite. Kavanos Lahazik is an indicator of Mishune. Meaning that, the Rebbe said that the Rav had a very favorable perspective on the animal kingdom, because it's trying to say that the only time that you're going to have something that's Mishuna is if it's Kavanos, Kavanos Lahazik, by its very definition, is Mishuna. So that's trying to say that normally animals don't damage, which is not necessarily the case. And finally, we had the position of Rabbeinu, who said that these are lav davka. There's no stira between Kavanos Lahazik and Mishuna, because these are just different ways, different avenues at accomplishing what we would call generic mazik, quote unquote. And I will explain that concept in just one moment. So what are the shitos on what the characteristics are of Karen? So you'll go through each of these. I have 7 listed here. I'm not going to go through each of them, but we're going to skip down to letter G and discuss Rabbeinu's Mahalach. So again, as I just said, Rav Rosenzweig holds that these Kavanos, Lahazik, Mishuna, they're lav dafka. They're lav dafka. Because really what's dafka about Karen is trying to accomplish the status of mazik. And if you have Kavanos Lahazik, then you get to mazik. If you have Mishuna, then you get to mazik. Maybe even without either Kavanos Lahazik or Mishuna, you could still get to mazik. So you'll ask me, what is mazik? Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't understand what you're saying. So let me explain what mazik is. So if you look at footnote number 1, generic mazik refers to the primitive status of a damager. It means that this animal is a damager. So the damages that are perpetrated, it includes the damages that are perpetrated by damaging animals. So once I can pin on a certain animal, this is just a damaging cheftza. That's what it is. Right? So therefore, when it damages, so that I can look at its damages in that light, I can expect the damages, they're very anticipated. I should say, I can expect this animal to damage. Yeah. So and I'm not going any further. I'm not trying to characterize what type of damage it is. I'm not trying to distinguish between this type of damage and another type of damage. I'm just telling you very blatantly and primitively that it's a damaging animal that does damages. So therefore, if you possess a damaging animal, well, I shouldn't say it like that. I think what Rebbe was going for, I think what he was vying for, was to try to say that if we can pin on a certain animal, and that it's a chefza shal mazik, it's a quote unquote mazik, it just has that status of being a damager. So then we can look at the damages that it perpetrates as related to it and not to the bialim. This very much reinforces the approach of Maisa Shodo, because this is a damager to begin with. So if that's the case, when it damages, then we can blame the damager for doing the damages. I mean, that's a very natural sequence. And once that's the case, so then we're again taking another step. If it's Maisa Shodo, so then why are you chayav to pay? Because you're the bank account that's the address for the harmful actions of your property. Was that clear? Yeah? Good. Okay. Now, what evidence do we have to this notion of Karen being this generic idea of mazik? Also, let me point out, I'm specifically going out of my way to speak very much about what generic mazik means here, because I'm going to distinguish it from what we meant when we said generic nezek in the context of regel. I know that confused some guys in the shir, and it should. How can you have two generic things that are different from each other? So really, we mean different things. So I'm trying to pinpoint exactly what we mean by generic mazik in the context of Karen. Eitan.
Yeah, can you explain one more time why generic mazik would mean more so than it's the
Meshi Shorah? Sure, because if you have Bessie, right, and you say, Bessie's a damager, right? So then when it goes out and damages, you're very likely to ascribe those actions to the status that you attributed to it to begin with. It's doing the things that we expect it to do.
It wouldn't be closer to your than you expected it more also.
Okay, so that could be, but I don't think this mahalach is exclusive. I don't think it's muhrach to say that mamon habaylim is what motivates the chiyuv for shore, if shore is generic mazik. I don't think that. I'm just showing how, I'm trying to illustrate how there's a correlation between mazik and maisa shoro, in the sense that if we can ascribe a status to the animal, then we can very understandably interpret the actions of that animal as stemming from its status. So it all relates to the animal. And once that's the case, then we're going to describe it as Maisa Shoro, and then think back to the Mechayiv being the Mamon HaBaylim, being the bank account. Okay? That's certainly the approach in Shir that we were taking when we were talking about Kavanos Olahazik or Kavanos Olahana. I'll say this as an aside, but when Rebbe explained why Karen and Shane would share more of an affinity than Karen and Regel, he did that by emphasizing that both have Kavanos. Kavan Olahazik, Kavan Olahana. And he explained that once an animal has kavana, so then we can be mitzarif the actions of the animal to the animal as opposed to its bialim. That's the idea I'm saying here. Alex, I guess we're not going according to the rule here. Okay. Yeah. There, I said a no questions rule at the beginning based on the rule of the.
Wow.
Yeah. But I said that there meet CD there could be exceptions. So people are paskening like me, not like the rule. Yeah.
This is going within Dafka, the idea of, let's say, meaning within Rebbe's four.
No, Lav Dafka.
This is saying even for, let's say, Karen Tam.
Yeah, I'm not even touching on four different Karens, because at the end of the day, what Rebbe said is that there are four different versions of Karen, but they all hook back up to this common denominator idea of being a generic mazik. And he just said that there's four different ways or four different instances in which you could have a mazik.
Okay.
So that's why I'm not even entering into that discussion.
Okay.
It's a very plain rule. It's Karen is mazik. That's it. End of discussion.
Okay, so if the hezek that was done was let's say mishuna as opposed to being something that's orche,
okay.
So then we would, even though it could be the same animal that did both, we would be magyar.
Did both what? What
did both regular action and a karen action? And a,
okay, any animal could meaning, both could do a karen
correct.
And a regal.
So
yeah.
Meaning the generic mazik is that we view the gabe this we're viewing the gavra animal as being
correct. Yes,
a mazik.
Yes, right. Even a short time when it does karen, we're saying that it's doing its action reflects its nature or its quasi nature as a mazik. We haven't yet set its status as a mazik in stone because it's not a shor muad, but nonetheless, it's doing an action that correlates to mazikim. Okay. So, what evidence do we have for this idea of generic mazik? So, we pointed to a lot in the Rambam. This is really the approach that Rav Rosenzweig wanted to take in the Rambam. First of all, Rav Rosenzweig argued that the Rambam's presentation of generic dinim throughout Perek Aleph emphasizes the generic status of Karen, because it seems like the Rambam is opening up with Karen before he gets to Regel and Sheen, but he's discussing Karen, Sheen, and Regel all together, and he's presenting them in a generic way because he thinks that Karen is the generic mazik. Moreover, the Rambam with regard to Chamisha Mu'adin in Aleph Vav, so the Rambam as opposed to Tosos thinks that the Chamisha Mu'adin, the Ze'ev and the Bardalos and the Namer and Ari, so they're all Mu'ad Milchatchila to do any form of Karen, not just the things that are normal. So an Ari is not only Mu'ad to bite, or to what's normal for a lion? To be Toreif, right? But it's also Mu'ad to bite, right? Biting would be abnormal. To Darius. Okay, Shkoich. So, whatever it is, so they're all Mu'ad to do everything. So, Rebbe explained very compellingly that the basis to say that is because what we're saying about these Chamisha Mu'adin is that they're Mazikin. So, once you're a Mazik for everything, because it's a generic status. You're just, that's the status that you were attributing to this animal, and we view all of its actions in light of that status. The third one was the Rambam Shita and Kalba da Achal Imre. Why does the Rambam group together Kalba da Achal Imre in the Perek and Shein, even though what Rav Rosenzweig said, as opposed to the Rav, was that this is actually a case of Karen? So, Rav Rosenzweig said that this is an idea where you have a case that looks like Shein, but it can easily fall back, revert back, default back into the category of Karen. Why? Because when you have a shor that doesn't, that's not unique enough to be Shein or Regel, because it doesn't have the salient characteristics of Shein or Regel, it'll just default into this generic mazik. It's doing damages. That's what it's doing. And number four, the Rambam in Nizkei Momon Aleph Zayin, where the Gra and the Rama ask on the Rambam why the Rambam quotes Uvir Bistei Acher as the Raya for why there's a Ptur when Birshus Hamazik, even though the Gemara says it's based on a Svar of Shorcha Birshusi Maiboi. So why would the Rambam quote the Pasuk of Uvir Bistei Acher? Rav Rosenzweig suggested along the same lines, that the Rambam is trying to stress that we can derive Dinim of Karen from Shein and Regel because Karen is the generic form of Shor, and Shein and Regel are just more particularized forms that build off of the generic Karen. So therefore, we can learn things from the particular to the generic. Eli Malach.
Just that I'm clear, are you saying Karen as a generic or general form of mazik is the same as viewing Karen as kind of a catch-all, as having, you know, an absence of unique characteristics of Shein and Regel?
That would explain how Karen would function as a catch-all. Yeah.
So the quote-unquote constructive characteristics of Karen, do they really play, you know, any role other than to, you know, define them as mutually exclusive to those of Shein and Regel?
They play the role of contributing to us looking at it as a mazik. And so it's kavanos olahazik, so therefore we can look at it as a mazik. It's mishune, so therefore we can look at it as a mazik.
But absent those things, even if it didn't also have the characteristics of Shein or Regel under this understanding.
So you could still make the argument that it would fall back into the catch-all. Because maybe you don't need a positive characteristic to get there. Yeah, that's why I think Rav Rosenzweig suggested in Shir that you could make an argument for Ptur in that case, Ptur Lagamre, and you could also make an argument, this was the Talmud HaRashba, to fall back to Karen. I think I have Talmud Rashba next. So thank you for the segue. Okay. So another nafkamina, as Eli Melech is pointing out, is what about if you have a case that doesn't have any, what I'm calling a categorical quality? It doesn't have any standout quality to put it into one of the categories. So what would be its status? So I just explained that maybe you could say it would be pater legamre. Maybe you could say that we would derive it from the tzara shave back in the Griz world. But the Talmud Rashba says, and according to Rebbe's interpretation, this was a case that has no salient characteristic, where you have an ashicha velo hispika la'achla ad shenafa. So the animal bites something in order to eat it, and then it drops it out of its mouth. There's no kavana lahazik. It's not mishuna because it's pursuing hana'a, but there's no hana'a. So you can't characterize it as Karen. You can't characterize it as Shane. It's certainly not regal. So what is it? So Talmud Rashba says it's Karen. Why is it Karen? It doesn't have kavanos lahazik. It doesn't have mishune. So Rebbe explained that this would be a good example where you have Karen functioning as a catch-all, as a default, as the category to which things revert back to if they don't accomplish a more particular quality. Okay. Are we ready to move on? Yeah? Okay. So that takes care of Karen. Now let's discuss Shane. So with regard to Shane, there's a very interesting question as to what actually is the mucker for Shane. So there's three different options here. The Chinuch thinks that Ki Yaver Ish Sada Ocherem is the mucker for Shane. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz paskins like the first day in the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph that Uvier is the mucker for Shane. That seems like the Pashtus. And then it's Mashma from Tosfos. Some of the Achronim make this point. We didn't see the Tosfos in Shir. I'm not going to go through it right now. But it's Mashma from Tosfos that they paskin like the second day in the Gemara that Vishilach is Mamish the mucker for Shane. And from Uvier, we just learn Oslo Mimela. Okay. What's the significance of from where you learn Shane? So again, this is my own Ha'ara, but I think it emphasizes, and we somewhat mentioned this in Shir when we talked about the Mefarshim Ala Torah, that the Makar for Shane kind of emphasizes the distinction between Maisa Bailim and Maisa Shor. If you learn Shane from Ki Yaver or from Vishilach, you're emphasizing the Maisa of the Bailim. You're talking about the Bailim as being Mavir the Behemah, or being Mishaleach the Behemah, as opposed to Uvier, which very much highlights the action of the animal itself. The animal is the one that's going out and doing the destruction, doing the kilyon, doing the eating, doing whatever Biur means. That's my ha'ara. So what's the mechayev of Shane in light of that ha'ara on the makar for Shane? So again, we have very similarly different options here. So we have the Maisa Shoro idea, which again, Rav Rosenzweig was very fond of within the world of Shane, but for a very different reason from Karen, not because it's the generic mazik, but rather because of the tziruf between the hana and the nezek. I'll explain that more as we go on. Should I explain that now, or should I go through all of the mechayvim? You know what, let's go through all of the mechayvim, and then I'll go back to Rav Rosenzweig's mahalach. So that's the Maisa Shoro Mamen HaBailim idea, but then there are other deos that really were thinking about Shane more in terms of Maisa HaBailim, as attributing the Nezek to the Bailim as opposed to the Shor. So again, Tosos Bava Kama had the idea of Pshia, and that is with regard to both Karen and Shane, so you can say the same thing that we said by Karen for Shane as well. You have the Sefer Abatim, which I mentioned originally, applies this idea across the board for Karen, Shane, and Regel, where he says that the Bailim are Ki'ilu Hizik Biyadayim. And then you have the Abarbanel's idea that Shane is a type of Geneva. Very interesting idea, where the Abarbanel is trying to say that basically the Bailim are doing an act of Geneva through the Shor. Because when the Shor eats, so then the Bailim save themselves a meal that they had to that they would have had to provide for that Shor. Right? So they basically benefited a meal from someone else's property. And that's a form of Geneva. So says the Abarbanel, and we'll see that idea play out in other Mekoros as well. Let's go back to the main Mahalach, the Derech HaMelech of Rebbe in this within the category of Shane. So we said the Mechayev for Shane would be the Maisa Shoro, and the idea would be is that when a Shor has Kavana Lehana'a, so that Hana'a is Mitzareth, the act of Nezek to the Behemah. In other words, we could have said that when an animal goes out to eat, it's doing something that's very normal. It's acting the way an animal and a human should act. It's not doing anything out of the ordinary. So why should we characterize this as damages? Or certainly, why should we blame the shore for having damaged? So we're saying that because the shore got benefit from its achila, So then that benefit serves as a tziruf. And this is based on a more general idea of hana that we see in other sugyos. Rebbe mentioned the idea of misasik b'chalom v'arayos chayov, that one of the ideas of why misasik b'chalom v'arayos is chayov is because hana constitutes a tziruf. Without the hana, this would have been a disembodied action. The misasik b'chalavim. So you were misasik, you had no kavana to eat the chalavim. It would have been disembodied, we couldn't have attributed that action to you. But now that you got benefit from the action, that serves as a mode of attribution. We can now join the action together to you. That's what we're saying for the idea of kavana lahana, of yesh hana lehaziko, within the world of shor. Now, in addition to these ideas of whether it's Maman HaBailim or Maisa HaBailim with three different variations, we also have the idea of there being two dinim within the world of Shor. This is very fond to me, because I think this is Emes and the Rambam. So, but you have three different Mekoros that you could point, three different Shitos that you could point to for there being two dinim in Shein. First of all, you have the Rashba's interpretation of the Yerushalmi, that there are two different Mekoros for Shein Da'az Mimela and Shein Da'Shilach. V'Shilach is Shein Da'Shilach, Uvi or Kiyaver Ish is Shein Da'Az Mimela. Sorry, Uvier is Shein Da'Shilach, Kiyaver Ish is Shein Da'Shilach, Uvier is Shein Da'Az Mimela. So I suggested that perhaps the Rashba is getting at two different Mahalchim as to what the Mechayiv is in Shein. Where you have Shein Da'Shilach, so that's really more of the Maisa HaBailim. We're saying that the Bailim were the ones who sent off this animal in order to do this destructive act. Whereas where you have Shein Da'Az Mimela, the animal goes off on its own, so it does its own normal type of action, and we're saying that it's really the Maisa HaShor based on the Tziruf between the Hana and the Nezek. You also have the Yesh Omrim in the Meiri, that Shein Da'Az Mimela would have to have Mechalia Karna, whereas Shein Da'Shilach would not. And this, we'll get back to that when I discuss Mechal and Karna. And finally, we have the position of the Rambam. So we should just note that the Rambam really counts Shein twice. He counts Shein as a subset of Shor. He counts it as an Av within the world of Shor. And he also counts Shein as Maveh. So Shein is counted twice within the worldview of the Rambam. Why would that be the case? So I'm suggesting that really there are two dinim in Shein for the Rambam. One is the Shein of Shor, which is more connected to kind of the Shein of Regel, just the normal minhag habehema. It's the normal way for an animal to act. And what I'm suggesting is that connects back to the Maisa HaBailin, meaning that we're going to fault the owner of the animal, because if you own an animal, you should know that the animal is going to act in this way, and therefore you should preempt a usual and commonplace damages. Whereas the Mava idea of Shein is the Shein of the Hana'a, and that's the idea of Maisa Shoro, where we're blaming the Nezek on the Behema and just being Mechayev you to pay for the Behema's own Nezek. What other rayos do we have to this? So we have the Rambam in the Ptur B'Shus HaRabim. I'm not going to go through that right now. I explained it in Shir. And we also have the Rambam with regard to Chiyuv Kofer. So that I will explain. So the Rambam in Yud Yud Gimel seems to learn that the Chiyuv Kofer for Shein is really tied up in the Chiyuv Kofer for Regel. So that's just another instance where you have a Regel Halacha that also applies to Shein. Why is that the case? Because Shein has multiple dinim. Shein has a din of Shein de Regel, Shein of Minag HaBehema, Shein of Shor, and Shein also has its own unique din of Shein of Hana. So when it comes to the category of Kofer, which we'll see later, which there's a great reason to say is really a din in Regel, so we'll say that Shein of Kofer is really a din in Regel as well. Okay. What afkaminas do we have for this? For these different mechayvim within the world of Shein. So first of all, what about the tchunos, the characteristics of Shein? So we know, of course, there's yesh hana lehazika, that the Gemara tells us explicitly in Gimel Amud Aleph, but some of the other Rishonim also throw in ein kavanaso lahazik, that a characteristic of Shein is ein kavanaso lahazik, meaning that there's a negative characteristic to Shein. It must be the case that it doesn't have kavanaso lahazik. So I would suggest that if you're going to throw in Kavanaso Lahazik in the mix, so you're taking that away from the world of Maisa Shoro. Maisa Shoro is the idea that there are certain positive elements, certain positive qualities that we can attribute to this Nezek. if you're going to say that it's not kavanos alahazik, therefore it's sheen, so you're not trying to say, oh, it's maisa shoro because it didn't have kavanos alahazik. You're trying to say that it's usual, it's commonplace, it's frequent, or it's normal, and therefore we're going to fault the bailim for having to had to watch over the shore, or maybe even to be considered as if having perpetrated the nezek themselves because they didn't watch over the shore. Next, a much more concrete nafkamina is the role of and the scope of hana within the world of shein. So what role does hana play within the world of shein? So we have three different ideas. One is this idea of tziruf, which I've spoken about at length. That's Rebbe's idea, that you need hana in order to be mitzarif the nezek to the behema and characterize it as maisa shoro. A different idea is the world of orche, where we say that we need hana in order to characterize this as something normal, as something frequent or usual. So that we see in the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. Talmud Rabbeinu Tam says that hana lehezika is an indicator of ein kavanos lahazik. So hana lehezika is not significant in and of itself. It's significant as a simin that it's not kavanah lahazik. In other words, that it's normal, right? That we can expect it to happen. And the last one would be that hana itself is a mechayif. So I'm going to skip that for now. Next, let's discuss the gidrei hana necessary for nizkei shein. So here we have really great nafkamina. So what hana? What type of hana is necessary for shein? So the Rashba is very expansive in his view of the type of hana necessary for shein. He says that kavana lahana is sufficient even without a real hana. He thinks that the hana that a snake gets from its neshicha is sufficient, even though there's no hanas haguf there. He thinks that the hana that an animal gets from kishkush could be sufficient for regel. Clearly, the Rashba has a very diluted view of the hana necessary for the mechayiv or for the nezek of shein. That is in stark contrast to some ideas that we see in other Rishonim, like the Talmud Rashba, who says that you need hana mamish. That's why, if you have the case we spoke about before, or let's say it differently, the Talmud Rashba thinks that you can't have a case of neshicha that's shein. Can't have a case of neshicha that's shein because there's no hana sachila. There's no hana mamish, and since there's no Hana mamish, so then it cannot be shein. We also have the Yerushalmi that said that sicha would be a tolda of shein, and Rabbi said that sicha could be compared to achila in this sense because it's a type of hana that those are two types of hana that go together. The Yerushalmi categorizes it as hana as haguf, and the Magen Mishnah in his first explanation of the Rambam also said maybe that you would require hana mamish kana as achila for the hana that registers for nizkei shein. What lies at the core of the dispute between the Rishonim as to what type of hana I'm going to require for shein? So we suggested that that could relate back to what the mechayiv for shein is. If I think that hana'a really just plays the role of making this commonplace and frequent, it just plays the role of urche, and I think that the mechayiv there, in turn, is about the maisa habailim, just about what they fail to do, their neglect, their negligence, or their ki'ilu hezek biyadayim, so then I will suffice with a low-level hana'a. I don't need hana'a mamish. I just need a hana'a that turns this into something commonplace, into something normal. But if I take Rav Rosenzweig's approach, and I think that shein is really about maisa shoro, and the hana'a is playing the role of the tziruf between the nezek and the behema, akin to the role of hana'a in misasek b'chalom v'arayos as a tziruf, so then I can make the argument that I would need a bona fide, concrete hana'a mamish. And that would explain the view of the Talmud Rashba and also the potential view of the Rambam according to the Magen Mishnah. This also plays out in another famous machlokas between Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos Shatz with regard to Tinfa Perus. So the Rishonim have a debate as to what the geder of the case of Tinfa Perus is. Rabbeinu Chananel thinks that Tinfa Perus is, the way it sounds, kipshuto, that it's a case of Hatalas Galalim. But the Tosfos Shatz thinks that Tinfa Peros is not a case of Hatalas Galalim, but rather a case where it's Rovitz on certain Peros and thereby Mazik them. It's like Rovitz for Hana, you know, it's taking a vacation on the Peros. So what lies at the core of that dispute? So of course, just very simply, Rabbeinu Chananel thinks that as long as you have a coinciding of Nezek and Hana, then that's sufficient for Shein. But Tosfos Shatz thinks that the Hana needs to come from the Nezek Mamish. again, we're connecting this back to the same point that we just made with regard to the scope of Hana that registers for Nizkei Shein. If you think that you just need Hana to make this case normal, so then you could very much understand the view of Rabbi Yochanan. As long as Hana exists within the confines of the case, then we will argue that it's sufficient for Shein to define the case of Shein as normal. But if you think that you need Hana from the Nezek, so when what you're saying is that we need to attribute this Nezek to the Behema, and you need the Hana as the Tziruf. So the Tziruf has to be Mitzarif, the Nezek, to the Behema. It has to connect the dots between the Nezek and the Behema. If it has nothing to do with the Nezek Gersh, then it can't connect the dots. That's the pshat for Rav Rosenzweig. That would explain Tosfos Shanta Shita. Finally, the sugya of Lo Mechal Yekarna, the Havamin of Lo Mechal Yekarna. So first of all, just as Yiddish, so we have three different shitos and the Rishonim as to what Lo Mechal Yekarna means. We have Rashi and the Rajba, who think that Lo Mechal Yekarna is a case of Shachas as Asid, that is Asid Litzmarach. You have Tosfos, who thinks that Shachas is a case of Tinfaperos. And you have Rabbeinu Yeshaya, who thinks that that Lo Mechal Yekarna is a case of Lasa Peros Vishlichasa Mipia, where it chews it up and then spits it out. It doesn't get rid of the principle in full, but rather just corrupts the principle. So I'm not going to go through the entire Shaklavataria, and I mean that in the sheer sense, the Shaklavatarian sheer, of the Havamina of Lo Mechal Yekarna. It's very important to know, and everyone should chazer on their own time. But I'm going to pick out the point that connected back to this idea or this discussion of the Mechayiv of Shin. And that is a machlokas within the worldview of Rashi in Lo Mechal Yekarna. So Rashi says that Lo Mechal Yekarna is a case where the Shachas is Asid Litzmarach, Aval Lo Katchila. So the Shachas is going to grow back, but let's say to 80%. So the Havamin of the Gemara was that you would be Pater. Right? And we made the point that maybe, according to Rashi, Lemaskana, if it grew back to 100%, you would still be Pater. The Rav in the Rishimos, Rav Eichmann quotes the Rav as having that Pshat in Rashi. But for our purposes, the question is that Lemaskana, that you're Chayav for Lo Mechal Yekarna, how much do you have to pay? You have to pay 20% when it grew back to 80%? Or do you have to pay 100%? Think about the case, think about the structure of the case. The animal went to the field and it ate up all of the grass. It mamish obliterated the grass. It does not exist anymore. You're walking on dirt, you're not walking on grass. But then the grass is going to grow back to 80%. So do you pay 100% because 100% of the original grass was destroyed? Or do you pay 20% because at the end of the day, the real hefsid that was caused to the bailim was only 20%? This was a machlokas. The Rav Soloveitchik says that, and I think this is Pashas in the Rajba, especially if you add in the line that the Mosad Rav Kook has, that you would pay 20%. But Rebbe said that according to Rashi, you would pay 100%. What's a nikudas machlokas? So Rebbe's whole idea of the havamina of Lo Mechal Yekarna was that for Shein, we require what we call a chefta shel nezek. A chefta shel nezek. That idea is basically trying to say that you require a bona fide type of nezek, not just a hefsid, because we're pinning this to the shore. We're trying to blame the shore for doing damages. And if that's the case, then it needs to have actually done damages. If you suffice with a hefsid mamon, if all you care about is just a hefsid, so then you're not going to attribute, you don't say that an animal goes and is mafsid. An animal is mazik. Bailim are mafsid. Right? Animals don't function within the world of economics. Animals function in the world of fields. So they can be mazik things. They're not mafsid things. So the idea of limiting Shein to Mechal Yekarna is that we require Chefta Shel Nezek, which is consistent with viewing the Mechayiv as Maiso Shoga. And once that's the case, so then what's Pshat in Lo Mechal Yekarna? So Rebbe said that maybe Lo Mechal Yekarna is also a Chefta Shel Nezek. We're faulting the shore for the Nezek that it perpetrated. And if that's the case, then the Nezek that it perpetrated was the obliteration of the grass. Not the end of the day hefsid that it caused to the bailim. It was the obliteration of the grass. And once it's the obliteration of the grass, so then you have to pay 100%. That's Rebbe's interpretation of Rashi. Whereas the Rashba is saying that no, the mechayiv here is not the nezek, it's the hefsid. So once it's the hefsid, then it's going to fall back into whatever the difference is from what the value was to begin with and what the value is now, and therefore you would only pay the difference of 20%. Cass?
What are you saying about Rashi? Was just saying that Moskana would
increase the Rashi economy or the It could be. Yeah, unless you're going to come up with a different interpretation of the shachas. That's what it sounds like to me. Let me think about that a little bit more. Okay. How are we doing? Oh boy. Wow. Okay. Let's go really speedy. 12 minutes to go. Okay, the Mechayev of Regal. So you'll take a look at your own, on your own time. We have, again, the same basic ideas of what the Mechayev of Regal would be. But here, Rav Rosenzweig took the opposite approach. That whereas Karen and Shane focus more on the shore, Regal focuses more on the bailin, b'shilach. You're trying to send off the animal in order to perpetrate some nezek. And we suggested that regel would be a generic form of nezek. What differentiates this generic form of nezek from the generic form of keren? So we said before that the generic form of keren was where we can attribute the status of a mazik to this animal. It's a walking mazik. It's a walking danger. That's not what we're saying with regard to regel. We don't characterize a shor as a walking danger with regard to nizkei regel. No. What we mean by generic is that there's nothing that stands out about this damage. There's nothing that distinguishes it. It's part of an animal's makeup. It's just an animal's way to do these things. That's what we mean by generic. It's the Rambam's formulation of minag habehima kederech b'riyasa. Mamish, the Rambam said it best. Minag habehima kederech b'riyasa. I wouldn't say mazik's unnatural, because for a damaging animal, the nezek is still natural. It's a consequence of it being a damager. But I'm saying that it's not that it has no distinguishing quality. It's just trying to say that this is... I'm sorry. It's the difference between saying that this is like a walking danger, that's mazik, that's karen, versus saying that this is a normal animal and it's just doing the things that are normal for an animal to do. It's almost like taking it out of the world of nezek and putting it into the world of hefsid. Like, it's difficult to characterize an animal stomping on something while it walks as a real nezek. It's more of the hefsid mamo. Okay. One possible nafkamina could be what your definition of hezeko matzoi would be. So this is a machlokas between the Rashba and Rashi. The Rashba thinks that hezeko matzoi, you'll take a look at these makoros on your own, but it's very clear from these Rashbas that hezeko matzoi is just something that's quantitatively common. So it's the most common of all of the nezikin. But we had yukim from Rashi and some other Rishonim that hezeko matzoi, at least with regard to regal, is not just something that's quantitatively common, but something that's qualitatively different in the sense that it's coincidental nezek. It's hezek demimela. And that's what I was just saying to Tzvi, that a hezek de mimela is not a real nezek. That's a hefsin momon. It's just something that happens. It's happenstance. It's coincidental. It's something that happens alongside the existence of an animal. So that perhaps would put more of the emphasis on the bailim as opposed to the shore. You're not going to fault a shore for acting kiminik b'yasa, for doing derech habehima, for just walking. And for a hezek de mimela that transpires via its walking, but you will fault the bailim because the bailim should have known that that was going to happen. Because when you own a shor, you got to know that that's the way that the shor acts. Gishmak. Next, the relationship between Shein v'Regel. So we had a chakira here. Are Shein v'Regel really one mechayiv, and it's just two different modes of achieving one mechayiv? That mechayiv would be darka mahazik. What we just explained for regel, we would say the same thing by Shein, and we would apply it to Shein because achila, eating, is also something that's kiminag briyasa. It's part of the animal's makeup. That very much appeared in the smag. and we have other evidence for it. I brought four different Makoros in Tosfos, where Tosfos seems to emphasize that Shein v'Regal are one. At the beginning of Ketzar Regal, so Tosfos quotes the Ri, who says that Shein v'Regal are Kechad Chashiveh. The Tosfos with regard to the Havamina of Chai and Behema, so he's mashveh between Regal of Tarnagolin and Shein of Tarnagolin, that once you say Tarnagolin for Regal, it'll apply equally to Shein. You have Tosfos Mavakama Zayinam and Aleph within the context of Hektish, where Tosfos characterizes Shein v'Regal as Mazik al yedei Shiluach bi'iro. That is a really great phrase for what we're trying to say. It's Shiluach bi'iro. The Bailim is basically just sending off the animal to doing what it's normally normally does, and therefore we're going to fault the Bailim. And finally, Tosfos thinks that we can, if Kofar applies to Regal, then it obviously applies to Shein as well. So Tosfos throughout the Masechta really seems to view Shein v'Regal as one package deal. But we said that was the Pashtus, but we also tried to bring some evidence that distinguished between Shein and Regal. And if you think back to the previous discussion that we've had throughout this year, you can see how Shein and Regal would be different. Shein might focus more on Maisa Shoro and the Hana acting as a tziruf between the Nezek and the Behema, faulting the Behema for doing a Chetza Shal Nezek, whereas Regal would focus more on the Maisa Habailim, because the animal's not really doing a real Nezek, it's a Hefsid Mimela. It just happens. It's happenstance. It's coincidental. And we fault the Bailim for not having anticipated that in advance. So what evidence can we bring for these being two distinct mechayvim? So we pointed to certain shitos in the Rajba, where the Rajba said that that boar distinguishes between regel and shein, because regel is more akin to boar than it is to shein. That is a wild comment of the Rajba. And Rebbe said that if we're going to take it seriously, then that places a huge divide between shein and regel, or at least much more of a divide than we would have expected. In addition, the Rajba on Shkulinhain says that that still, even though they're shkulin, they're still different from one another. So there are indications in the Rajba that Shein and Regal are different from one another. But if you look at footnote number 4, so I pointed out, and Rebbe hinted to this as well, that the Rajba is a bit tzarichian on this topic, because from other evidence, it seems like the Rajba groups Shein and Regal together. We noted before that the Rajba has a very diluted view of the Hana that's necessary for Shein. So if you have a very diluted view of the Hana that's necessary for Shein, you're not going to be likely to accept Rebbe's Mahalach to Shein. You're going to want to have a bona fide Hana that can be mitzarif between the Nezek and the Behema. So if you take the Rajba's view of the Hana that registers for Shein, you're more going to go to the Parsha of the Maisa HaBailim, that as long as this is Urche, as long as this is normal, then we can fault the Bailim for that. But once we go to the Parsha of Maisa HaBailim, then Shein becomes the same as Regel. And then Shein and Regel are the same thing. It's a package deal, which goes against the evidence that we're bringing from the Rajba and Beis HaMidbeis, that Shein v'Regal are different. So Ktas Tzarech Ian and the Rajba, unless you want to say that maybe the Rajba just suffices with Hana as a lower level tziruf. You don't need a real Hana to be mitzarif, as long as you have any Hana that's mitzarif. Okay, very nice. Next, we have Shitas HaRambam. So we noted, or at least according to Rebbe, and also according to the Sefer Abatim, the Rambam counts only Shein in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He doesn't count Regel. Mava means just Shein, it doesn't mean Regel. And we said that that's perhaps because the Rambam thinks that Regel is more of Hezek Dimimela, it's more of the of a generic Mazik, and therefore it doesn't need to be counted as its own din. Whereas Shein, at least the Shein of the Hana, needs to be counted as its own din because it's own Mechayiv of Maisa Shoro through the Kavana Lehana. I brought other evidence from the Havamina of Chaya, where we distinguish between Shein and Regel, where you would think that either there would be more of a Havamina to exclude Chaya from Shein, or you would think that there'd be more of a Hana'a, more of a Havamina to expand Shein of Chaya more than Shein of Regal. So if you distinguish between them, then perhaps that reflects that you think that they're different at their core. What nafkamina do we have for the question of Shein for Regal? So mostly al pi rov, this is really a conceptual question. It's really a conceptual question of just how do we view Shein and Regal. There is one potential nafkamina lamaisa, which would be whether we apply tsroros to Shein. So that is a machlokas between the Rishonim. Tosos thinks that tsroros does apply to Shein. That's Tosos Bavakama Yudzayin Amud Beis, that should be. But according to Rashi, tsroros does not apply to Shein. So that could be a machlokas about the relationship between Shein and Regal, and we should note that Tosos would be l'shitasam, because Tosos thinks that Shein and Regal are a package deal, so that would be another instance in which Tosos applies a halacha of Regal to Shein, of Regal to Shein. But it need not, it's not a muchach nafkamina, because that machlokas could also be tied to the nature of chatzi nezek tzoros. It could be a machlokas within the world of tzoros, not necessarily within the world of the relationship between shein and regel. We could also point to kofar. The Gemara clearly identifies kofar as something that's a regel din. So that's notwithstanding the fact that all the Rishonim also apply kofar to Shein. So I'm not saying this is a nafkamina lamaisa. It's not a nafkamina lamaisa. We say kofar for both regel and Shein. The only question, though, is why did the Gemara choose to speak about kofar dafka within the context of regel and not within the context of Shein? So that might suggest that regel has a different mechayiv at its core, namely the maisa habailim. Of Vishilach, and the reason why that would be associated more with kofar is because kofar is itself a din in the bailim. It's not a din in the shore. You pay kofar because you're at blame. Kofar kapara. Good. What about hekdish? So I'm not going to discuss that right now. And finally, we have the relationship between Karen Shane and Regel. So we pointed out that there might be jump to the second question there. So if you have Shein and Regel, which one shares more of an affinity to Karen? So we pointed out that there are some Makoros that show that Regel has more of an affinity to Karen in the sense that Shor is listed first in the Mishnah, even though it really refers to Regel, because we call Regel Shor. So that proves that we're more comfortable linking Karen and Regel than we are linking Karen and Shein. And if that's the case, then we might ask why, and the reason might be because either that they both lack hana'a, or because, or if we take a more maisa habayalim approach to both, or what else to be saying here for why Karen would be the same as would be closer to Regel. What do we say? Oh, the generic point, right? That they're both generic in certain ways. Okay. I apologize, I went quickly, but I tried to do it for the Olam. I think Isaac is going to continue next week with the sugya of Eved Ve'ama. And shkoyach to everybody. And if you have any questions, if you want more clarification, please feel free to come to me afterwards.